Well, welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. My name is Dallas.
And I'm Cass.
And our special guest today is absolutely incredible. You might know him from The Godfather of Harlem, the show Shameless, or the ABC top hit, The Rookie. But today he is here as an author, as we're welcoming author Derek Augustine, who is here with his debut novel, Nolens. So welcome to our show.
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
This is absolutely incredible. I'm not going to lie. I'll be totally honest. I'm fangirling real hard.
Really?
We're here as professionals. We're here as podcasters. We're here to talk about your wonderful book. But I have to say it, that like, yeah. I watch The Rookie religiously.
So yeah.
This is wild to me. And when I saw that you had written a novel and you're now an author, I was like, we got to have him on the show. We have to talk to him.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, The Rookie, look, it's been amazing. I am very grateful and honored to be on The Rookie. And we have phenomenal cast members. We have a phenomenal crew and showrunner, producers, directors. And we really do get along like a big family. And I'm grateful. This season's going very, very well. We don't know yet. We're going to get renewed, but hopefully we will. We should know something soon. And I'm looking forward to see how Miles continues to flourish in his career as an officer in the LAPD.
Yeah. I mean, the character itself is growing so much on the show, right? Like, I feel like you're really making a name for yourself within the show, at least from my bias, love the show perspective. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you literally fought like zombies basically this week. So
it's crazy, right? Yeah. That episode was intense. Yeah. Look, that was, I had to run. I used to run track in high school and I played football in college. And we had to run a lot for that episode. And specifically me, I had to do like 350 meters like 15 times. And by the end, I was just like, gas. Yeah. So that's why I look kind of crazy on the filming. Because at that point, I was like, oh, let's just get this shot. I'm so tired.
Well, and I feel like that made it more authentic, too. Because in the show, and Cass, I know that you haven't watched the episode, but like they were running the whole time from these people who got like exposed to this toxin and then became basically like zombies. Essentially, and so they were all the police officers running for their lives the entire time,
running for our lives. And
so
it was
it
hot
made it
that
very
day.
Real.
Yeah, it was hot. We had this gun belt. It was crazy.
Yeah, if none of you would have broke a sweat on that episode, I would have been like,
"Oh no,
there's no way."
We did. We did. It was it was intense. Yeah,
you guys were truly running.
Yeah,
it was amazing. It was incredible. So I feel like you're doing a great job. But I have one question for The Rookie that I'm saving for the very end. Everything else about this episode is for you and your fantasy debut novel. That's why we are here. So let's get into it. I want to start nice and early. What was your inspiration to start writing fantasy?
Well, I've been a fantasy advocate and a fantasy reader since I was a kid. And I think that's where, you know, the love for writing came from. And it stemmed, like the original idea came from a college paper that I had to do. And that's how the idea started. But my love for reading YA fantasy started as a kid. I think it was introduced to me by my grandmother, who made my twin brother and I read every single day when we used to go visit them. So so that's how my love for YA started.
I do feel like when celebrities go from acting to writing, a lot of times they go to like memoirs or other different types of genres. So it is really cool to see someone of your stature like go towards the fantasy genre. So it's really amazing, and I'm so excited that you have chosen this genre, because this like fantasy, romantic-y, things like that mean a lot to Cass and I. So it's so cool to see you in this element.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you guys for being a fan of it. But yeah, it's I don't know too many black male writers, honestly, as a whole. So for me, it just feels like not a big weight on my shoulders, but I feel like I'm creating a space for more people to be like, hey, maybe it'll be cool to enter this space where it's not a lot of us and we can write stories that, you know, that aren't really shown and that can really captivate audiences as we continue to progress to enter the space in YA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, No, 100%. And I think that's really, really important. And when you're coming over to this genre or even like book talk as a whole, yeah. Right? Like there are some parts of book talk that are a little spicy, but mm-hmm. I would say 98% of that community is so open. It's so welcoming. And we want so bad to have everybody feel included and feel yeah. loved and feel accepted. So I feel like the entire community is going to welcome you with open arms. Like,
oh, I appreciate
gratefully.
It. Yeah, look, diversity and inclusion is really important to me, whether it be race, sexual orientation, religion, anything that, you know, that doesn't really get showcased as a broad audience. I'm yeah. here for, and I'm here for, you know, reading pretty much everything, not just things that are diverse mm-hmm. and inclusive. But I think as a writer and even as an actor, we get inspired by different views and reading different things and watching different things and things that kind of takes you out of your element to be, and it's good to have an open mind about that, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's also really important for the younger generations and the younger communities as well, who hopefully are starting to like get into reading again, right? As reading is becoming more popular, at least on like the social media standpoint, libraries are becoming more popular. So I think it's really important to have authors of different sexual orientations, colors, races, ethnicities, all of the above. So that way, when they're growing up, you know, kids who are of those races and ethnicities can feel like they can also do the wonderful things like create books and stories.
Most definitely. I mean, that's what kind of inspired me, because I was like, you know what? I don't see like a young Black man in these books I'm reading. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if I can inspire a kid who's doesn't feel like they're seen, I mean, that makes me feel like I'm doing something phenomenal. Yeah. So, yeah, most definitely. Yeah.
100%. Absolutely. So what are some of your favorite fantasy books that you have, like you've read in the past, or are there some currently that you are mm-hmm. reading that you want to talk about?
Oh, man, it's going to sound kind of a cliche, but like The Maze Runner, Vampire Diaries. I read Hunger Games, Divergent. Of course, Harry Potter. What I read recently, not recently, but when they first came out, Children of Blood and Bone. Those are phenomenal. I mean, Tomi is an amazing writer, and she's actually getting her books made into a film, which is phenomenal. Yeah, so things of that nature. And I don't know, I love like escaping the normal world and going to like this fantasy. And I always wish, you know, I've been through a lot in my life. And I think that's why I wrote Donna Marie the way she's been through adversities. Like, that's the things I've been through. And I'm like, when I was a kid, I always wish I could just escape my reality and go to a fantasy and kind of live happily ever after and leave my problems and my adversities and my trials and tribulations behind me. So, yeah.
I think definitely a lot of people can relate to that as well. And speaking of Donna Marie, that is your FMC's name. Yes. For those who don't know, like the female main character's name. And I know there's a little bit of a backstory to this name. Are you comfortable mm-hmm. diving into that story?
Yeah, most definitely. I honored my mother, my late mom, Donna Marie, Guillory Augustine, by naming the lead character, the female lead character after my mom, which means a lot to me. And even though her story is kind of written in my background, there's a lot of my mother in there as well. And my mother was a very beautiful, my mom was so beautiful. She had like this long, that's why I made Donna have this, you know, this long, vibrant hair, because my mom had like long flowing hair. She was beautiful, Black, strong, very smart, very intelligent, and very nurturing and caring. And that's why the same, you see how Donna is so sweet, is because I really want to show people that, yeah, she's maybe a fictional character, but like her true feelings, the way she emotes feelings and her personality comes from myself and my beautiful late mom.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
No, it's all right. I'm sorry.
I know. I don't know her. I never knew her, obviously, but I feel like she would be so proud of you today for how far you have come. It sounds like, you know, your past was a bit of a struggle, so you were able to get into this wonderful novel and kind of put a lot of that emotion on paper. So I just feel like she'd be so proud of you today. As a mom, I can say that.
I know she would. I know she would. Yeah, I have my twin brother too. I know she would be proud of him. He just had a little girl. I'm an uncle. I'm an uncle now. And we talk a lot, and we always say, man, our mom would be so excited and happy for us. Like, I'm doing great things, and I'm setting myself up and my future family up for success. Like, I don't want my kids to grow up like I grew up, as far as like class and the economics way, right? I want my kids to have a perfect, not perfect lifestyle, but a lifestyle I didn't have, right? And I want that for my family and my wife. And my brother is living that. He's married and he's happy, and he has a beautiful, beautiful daughter. And I'm so proud to be her uncle.
It's incredible. I mean, that's all we can do, right? Just to make our kids' lives better than what we had.
Yeah, that's most definitely. Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
Even if it's just a little bit.
So speaking of your history, so how long have you been working on becoming an author?
Wow. I'll just say this book took 7 years to write. Wow. Seven years from cover to cover. It started, should I give an origin story how it started? I briefed on it a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. It started as a creative writing test in my literature class. And we had to visit a famous landmark in New Orleans and write a story about it, a fictional story. And I chose the African American Museum in Treme, which is a historic landmark. And and I went in there and I saw this beautiful artwork, carpentry work by slaves and free people of color back then. And then I went inside this room and I saw, first a little backstory, you know, New Orleans was the main port back in the day where sorry to say, to talk about this subject, but slaves came in through the Mississippi River, right? Yeah. And one of the biggest auction blocks in Louisiana was in New Orleans. So when I went inside this room in the Treme, into the African American Museum, I saw, you know, nooses and chains and locks and torture devices. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to write something about what I'm seeing, and I'm going to turn it into something powerful. So I wish I still had that paper. We had to write it in class. So we had to take a picture at the museum, at our landmark. So I took a picture where I was at, and I had to, in class, we had to write, you know, create a story about it. So that's what I did. I created a story about this young girl who gets her powers from the elders about these wizards get their powers from slavery, and they turn it into good. And Don Marie is a descendant from one of the main elders of the community. So, yeah, so that's how it started. And I kind of put it away for a minute. And then I think when I was like in my 20s, I was like, you know what? I'm going to pick this back up and really flush it out and see what happens. So I started writing the story, and I was going to this free writing course in Santa Monica at Beyond Baroque Theater, and we had to bring 3 pages a day, and that kind of helped me really flush out and get critique. And then I was writing it in third person present tense. And when I finished the book, I got an agent, and she was like, "Derek, this is great, but you're gonna have to rewrite the book in third person past tense, because most YA fantasy books are in past tense when they're in third person."
Oh my gosh.
So that took me another year and a half to rewrite the book.
Holy cow.
And then a round of editing. So all in all, it probably took like 8 years for me to get this book out. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. What a crazy story of like, this was just something you came across that you had to do for school or, you know, for your class. And then this came out of it. So was being an author kind of ever a passion before you got into acting, or was acting kind of that main passion and then you rediscovered this?
I wanted to be an actor since I was 13 years old. My mom forced my twin brother and I to do theater. The first play I did was The King and I. And we used to model back in before this too. We used to be in like the JCPenney catalogs. We used to do their runway shows and stuff like that. So that's where my love for acting came. Lucky I fell in love with it. I didn't resent her for that. But so actor first, and then writing came along, I think, when I started taking literature classes in college. And then I just took it and ran with it.
And when you were writing this novel, because obviously it took you a long time and you have done a lot of other acting projects during that time, were your cast members and your like producers and directors, were they all supportive of this journey? Or did you really have to kind of put it off to the side and just work on it when you can? Mm-hmm.
I kind of found time. I finished the bulk of it during COVID. And I think the rest of it was just editing and getting notes back from editors and things of that nature. So I kind of finished it before I started working on The Rookie. But during the meantime, I was working when I first like picked it up. I think I was on Godfather Harlem, or was I working on something else? I forgot. But I found time to write. I think what my thing is, at least a page a day keeps the procrastination away. So even if it's like something that's not good, you can always go back and re-edit it, you know? So for me,
you should slogan that.
Yeah. That's yeah. Yeah. Like keeps the procrastination away. Yeah. And I tell that all the time, like a page, a sentence, a paragraph, at least do something. And I write on my phone. I write in different places. So if you do that, I guarantee you, like, you'll have a book. But it might take you 7 years, but you'll have it.
Yeah. You'll get there for sure. Was it ever hard to keep jumping back into this book and this writing and memorizing scripts as well? Or were you able to keep them completely separate?
I believe I kept them pretty separate, honestly. I found a way to do both. I really did. And it this goes with anything in life. If you have a passion for something, you have to carve out time to really fully pursue it 100%, right? Because if not, then if you don't have discipline or consistency, it's not going to get done the right way.
So with that, you are traveling for a book promotion, right, for this debut novel. Was it hard to kind of slot that in with your current career?
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
But I have an amazing team who works it out some kind of way. You know, I have on the book side, I have Denisha and Siren at Pretty Girls Do Read. And I have an amazing manager and amazing agents. And so we figure it out. We find a way.
So if we don't see you in an episode, we know that you're on tour for your book. Right?
Like, oh, no. The Rookie comes first. The Rookie comes first. The Rookie is my bread and butter. And the book is, you know what? Luckily, everything happens on the weekends usually. So I usually can fly out like Friday evening, and then I can return like Sunday or Monday. So I usually figure it out.
I was going to say, later on, we were going to ask you if you were going to add any tour dates. But it sounds like you have a pretty booked schedule. So
I'm trying to. I think Denisha just called me and we got something set up for November, which is on a weekend. Okay. So I'm going to try to fly out that Friday and come back Sunday. I got something in Dallas coming up, which is great because it's in April. It's actually on my birthday, April 3rd, which is cool because we're off. You know, we're not filming during that month. But I was just in Germany. I think I'm bringing the books to Paris. It's a lot going on, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
You know what's a good place, Derek? Orlando, Florida. That's a nice place.
Well, I'm not opposed to it. My publicist lives out there. She did say we need to do something in Florida. So we'll see.
We could meet you at a bookstore.
We'll travel.
All right. Sounds good. I think we all working on something because my publicist, she's opening up a bookstore in Florida. So maybe I'll do a signing.
That's cool.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm sure we'll figure something out.
Getting into the story.
Yes.
What should readers expect from the story? I know we talked a little bit about the FMC, but what kind of tropes, plot twists, betrayals, what can we expect?
I think the biggest thing that people are going to take away from this is overcoming adversity, found family. Family is a big, big part in this book. And I think it comes from like my Southern roots. I'm from New Orleans. So it's like we family values is at its core. It's like family. The Saints, we love the Saints. We love football. So it's like family, sports, and everything else is just, I'm just playing.
You guys have great food, right?
We have great food. That's what I'm saying. Food, culture, people. We New Orleans has it's a unique city. So I think my Southern roots, my family values stems from that. And I include that in the book. But so I think the core of it is family coming, overcoming adversity, coming of age, and love. Yeah. Not love, like, oh, I'm going to fall in love with her, but like platonic love through friendships, through relationships, platonic male and woman, girl and boy, aunts and uncles, nephews and uncles, nieces and aunts, Jackie's is Donna's godmother. And we see their family bond, that connectivity. That's not blood, but it's so special. And we see relationships through these young kids that they're so different from all parts of the world. And some are wizards. Some might be I might be spoiling some, but some might be a vampire that nobody knows about, right? But you see these different characters really come together for a greater good of saving the world from the elders of the wizard community, which in order to do that, they have to work in unison together. And we see that.
Love that.
Yeah, that's amazing. It sounds like everything that I love in a book.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, that's a good thing.
So with that book, are you into book two yet? Or are you kind of taking a little bit of a break?
I've started writing book two. I have started writing book two and fleshing out new characters. It's only in the brainstorming phase right now. Like when I write, I have a big whiteboard upstairs and characters, plots, storylines. So I'm doing a lot of history, diving into history of the Casket Girls right now and the different families in the houses. And so that's a lot of work, but I want to make sure I flush these things out. World building is so important. I want people to read the story and really immerse themselves, not just in the world, but the culture, the feeling, because I want people to be able to really see New Orleans and the stories and the folklore that people might not have. People who haven't been to New Orleans, I want people to get a brief essence of that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that does make sense. And that kind of answers my question a little bit. I was going to ask if you had like a title yet or a release date, but it sounds like you're just jumping into it. Do you anticipate the amount of years that it took you to write book one to write book two, or do you think it'll be a little bit shorter?
Hopefully a year or a year and a half. So I'm going to get the bulk done probably before we start shooting and then during, and I'll probably flush everything out on our off season next year. Yeah, so like a year and a half, I think. But I'm working on a totally different vampire TV script. So I'm kind of want to finish that first before I dive into the book fully. So we'll see. But my guess, no more than 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and now that you've written one, you feel probably a lot more confident. You probably know how you feel about the characters, and probably starting from scratch is a lot harder than continuing once you know those people and the places you want.
Most definitely. But still, I have to introduce new characters through the vampires and other wizard characters. So at the end of book one, we see it switches to first person, right? So this book two is going to be, I feel like it's going to be easier for me to really write because it's all going to be first person.
Yeah.
And I get to really get in their heads and write through their eyes. I already started on the beginning of the book, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a lot easier to write.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think for me, I'm not an author. I could never be an author. I like to interview authors. You know, that's my specialty. But I feel like first person, in my opinion, would probably be easier to write.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the new norm now. Every YA fantasy book is leaning more towards first person. When I was reading, it was more third person. So it's interesting how the decades pass, and it's like, oh, this is more. This is more chosen in this. This writing style is more popular now than this. And then this one comes along. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, that is really interesting. I feel like there's only a couple that I have seen recently that are in third. Like Lightlark is in third. Right,
yeah.
That's a series. And then like Crescent City, the Akatar, stuff like that. A lot of that is in third.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are truly just in first person. And then there's POVs. Between the FMC and the MMC.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
So that's fair.
Yeah.
I didn't put this in there, but I do have a question though, is there an audiobook for this, because as far as like the first person is popular, audiobooks are huge in like right now.
My overall goal for this novel is I did not know how much work it took to self-publish a novel. Hopefully, I sign with a publishing house that will take care of all of that. So I can just focus on writing book two and then book three and end the series. So yes, of course, I would love for this thing to be an audiobook, and I want to get like a real, someone from New Orleans to really voice these characters.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. That'd be incredible. Yeah. Yeah, being an indie author, we have learned from, we have a segment that is called Indie Talk, where we bring multiple indie authors on and talk about the struggles of being an indie author, like having your 9-to-5 with writing and, you know, trying to pay to your out of your own pocket to publish these books. So it's
tough.
It's insane. All of the things that you guys have to go through to publish these books. Yeah. So I hope that we get to move your book from the indie shelf to the traditional shelf very soon.
I hope so. Hopefully. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I have no doubt. So speaking of like moving your book and finding it, where can we expect your book to be? Because I know it's on the Barnes & Noble website. I went into Barnes & Noble and I was looking for it, but I couldn't. I was going to purchase it and have it, but I couldn't find it. So are we working on having more in stores? I know, again, it's a struggle as the indie author, so things take time and they happen, but what is your goal for that?
It's tough, man. I'm looking to get my book into more Barnes & Nobles. I'm in a couple stores right now, but they really, like, majority of their books are from publishing companies, especially the bigger stores. Like, I really want to get it at the Grove in L.A. That's the biggest Barnes & Noble in Los Angeles, and they only, you know, select their books from publishing houses, which is, I don't understand that. But I'm in some Barnes & Nobles here, and that's the goal, to get in more Barnes & Nobles. I'm in some, like, indie bookstores, which is amazing. I'm in, like, a bunch of bookstores in New Orleans, my hometown, some in L.A., and I just want to expand, and we'll see what happens on along this journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can get it on Amazon for our listeners. Yep. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Barnes & Noble online. So there are options for you. And as you said, some indie bookstores that you have. And then if you need more indie bookstores, we know quite a few of them that are absolutely incredible. So if you need more indie bookstores that you're interested in, we definitely have some recommendations for you.
Just go in there and request knowledge and they will get it. They will order it.
Well, we have talked about all the bookish things. It's time for my rookie question.
All right, go ahead. Let's go.
I promised that I would only keep it to like one, maybe two questions.
Ask away. I don't mind at all. I don't mind.
Okay. And I promised that I wouldn't do anything that's like a spoiler, because I know that's, you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble. So my question is, and if you don't have one, that's okay. But is there any sort of like recording ritual that you guys do, or anything like post wrap up that you, like a party or things like that, that you guys do to kind of get in the zone or get out of the zone?
Not really. We're like a big family. So it's like when we get together, we always have a good time. And so that's really our thing. We get together, we have fun, but we keep it professional. You know, when the team, our crew, and they be like, hey, we'd rather film, we lock right in, you know. So but as a crew, as a cast and crew, we do go out a lot together. Like we just went to dinner. We just was in Germany. We had a cash wrap dinner and things of that nature. So it's nothing specific that we do before or after, but we just we're spontaneous. We're fun, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you keep it fun. I feel like there are a lot of jobs where it's so serious all the time that you can't have any fun, right? Like I'm in my 30s, but I feel like at work and I'm in my profession, I'm laughing and being goofy more than I am being professional. I am professional girly. This has been fabulous. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Thank you.
I am so grateful to be able to talk with you, and I can't wait for the world and more of us to hear about your book and hear about Nolens and see it be traditionally published and be in lots of more bookstores.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys for the interview. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. And Derek, where can our listeners follow your Nolens journey?
You can follow me on Instagram and X at Derek Augustine, and the Nolens page is Nolens_series, and you can buy the book on Barnes & Noble. You can go to Barnes & Noble and request it, and Amazon as well. So, yeah.
Perfect. And then in our show notes as well, we will have his socials posted and all of the links to purchase Nolens for yourself today.
Thank you.